Good evening.
Good evening.
Thankful that we get to be back together this afternoon, tonight. Thank Brother Jeremy for reading that scripture, that all those passages for us, that scripture. I'd go back to verse 8. Verse 8 can kind of springboard into our lesson tonight. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As I thought, as Jeremy read that, and I thought as Glennon prayed his prayer, that as Christians, we are to sow the seed of the kingdom to the world. Those are his words. And he's exactly right. And for me, that helps set the tone. As Jackie sang the song, we will glorify. We're sowing the seed of the kingdom to the world, but we're also glorifying God. In verse 8, we're to bear much fruit. Now, we know tonight, I'd like for us to do the opposite of what the world wants us to do. The world wants us to maybe be out front all the time, or always promoting self-serving, elevation, promotion, all of those things. But as Christians, that's not the examples that we have. Tonight, we're going to look at working quietly. And the one we're going to look at tonight is the disciple of Andrew. As we think about Andrew, I think about a lot of Andrews maybe in my life, a lot of Andrews here to work quietly. You never know that they're around. Right now, you may or may not know, but we have a group, a team that I am very, very thankful for. They are our security team. They're protecting us this very moment. They're watching out for us, monitoring everything. They're at work right now. We can't see them, but they're working quietly. To me, they're kind of like the group of Andrews, you might say. When it comes to the church, if you're serving, if you're working, you're participating behind the scenes, you are important, and that work is needed. Serving behind the scenes is what we say in the teaching field, in the trenches. This is where I've always been, it's where I want to be, because that's where you get your hands dirty, and that's where you get to be up front and close with things that are going on. And if you are doing those things, you need to continue doing those things. There will be a host of people who may never get their name mentioned in the bulletin, maybe never get their name mentioned from the pulpit or an announcement, but they are working very, very hard. And tonight I want us to think about the Andrews of our world, of the Andrews of our congregation, the Andrews of our life, as we look at the life of Andrew tonight. Who was Andrew? Well, if you go to John chapter 1. We're in John. We're going to spend the first few moments in John. Go to John chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 35 through verse 42. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you see?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." Andrew, the first 2 points I'd like you to think about with Andrew, man of conviction, excuse me, he was always bringing people to Jesus. Once he found the Messiah, we read about in verse 41, he found his immediate family, his brother. He wanted to bring his brother to the Messiah. If you go to John chapter 6, just a few pages over, we won't read those 14 passages. We all are more than familiar with the feeding of the 5,000. This incident of feeding the 5,000 was a test. It was a test for Philip to see what he would do. But we know what happened. Philip was overwhelmed by the need and very overwhelmed by the lack of funds or the resources available. Andrew realized this need, and what did he do? Did he panic? No, he got busy. He did what he could do. And the Lord did the rest. Sometimes when we think that maybe we don't have the resources that we can carry out jobs that we need to within the church, we finally realize that we do all that we can do and the Lord will provide the rest. We look in places such as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'd like to I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 2 while we're there. We'll hit chapter 4 also. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are made for work. We are built for work. Christians are to work, to serve, to participate. I think about all the number of ministries that are going on here. Sometimes it's really far too many for me to count. I can't keep up sometimes. And I'm thankful for the oversight of our elders. They shepherd all of us, but they monitor and allow us to have the resources that we need to participate in those ministries, because ultimately everything that we do should have a Matthew 6:33 mindset. It should be a path back to evangelism. Should be the path back to expanding the borders of God's kingdom. We, like Andrew, are made for work, but there's all types of work. There's all types of roles that we all can fulfill. You have to go over maybe a page or two to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does his share, causes growth in the body and edifying in itself to love. Andrew realized what his role was. He realized to work quietly behind the scenes, to understand how he can support. I once had a conversation with a gentleman, you may not remember, but back in the 90s here locally, since this is a March basketball month for all of us basketball fans, but they used to call them the three-on-three blacktop meltdowns. That was pretty popular back in the 90s around here. And we had a team of three guys. I knew two of the three pretty well. And from little old Glasgow, and they would go to Louisville, and they would participate in huge tournaments and do really well. So finally, because those three guys were kind of like me, they couldn't really run or jump or do a lot, I wondered how they were so successful in basketball, these three-on-three tournaments. And one guy told me, he says, we all realize what our role is. He said that we work so well together as a team, that's why we've had a lot of success from a sports standpoint. But then the church, once we realize what our role is, what our talent is, what our capabilities, what our availability is, this morning we talked about as we schedule our time through the week, hopefully the work of the church is at the very, very top, near the top, if not the most important thing. Andrew realized that truth would lead to maturity. When we allow maturity to continue to grow with us, we're going to work quietly but productively. We're not seeking glory. We're not seeking any type of recognition, any type of accolades or anything of that nature. Because our number one job, as Glenn prayed in his prayers, to sow the seed of the kingdom across the world, locally, bloom where you're planting, wherever your circle may be, but to sow the seed of the kingdom. Because Andrew was always bringing people to Jesus. That was his number one focus. He learned of the Messiah. What did he do? Immediate family. Found his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. Our jobs and our homes, we're going to look just in a few minutes, about the makeup of the home, about parents, is to save our family, teach our family, and then move outward. He had a sense of urgency that showed what? It showed his passion. It showed his passion for the Lord, but also his true love and his concern for his brother. Do we share the same type of urgency when we know what we should be sharing with other people? Do we have that streamline, that scope, that tight focus? I worked with a lady a few years ago, and for a period of time, she was very successful in selling a certain type of makeup or cosmetic type product. And she told me one time that she did so well at it that she almost became obsessed with it. I shared this our Wednesday night class, to the point that every time she would meet somebody, a lady, she would automatically start in her mind, start building a profile, how I can build a relationship with this lady to sell her my product. To the point that she just said it just became just too much, and I couldn't even do my job, but I was trying to sell. And while I listen to her, and I've often thought about that, I would like to take some of those same traits and apply that with sharing the gospel with others. that I think about in the workplace, even in my own family, my neighborhood. Start building a profile. Why do you believe what you believe? How can I share with you what the truth is, what the Bible says? How can we find ground to the point that we can have that discussion? And I think about Andrew having that type of focus, that he was willing to constantly focus on bringing others to Jesus. If you go to John chapter 12, go back over just a few pages. John chapter 12, verse beginning in verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20 through 22. He had great compassion for people. This can be seen when the Lord entered Jerusalem. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. They approached Philip. He seemed unaware of how to best handle the request from the Gentiles. So what did he do? He brought the situation to Andrew, and Andrew immediately knew what to do. These men needed to be brought to Jesus. They were not of the house of Israel, but Andrew knew that they needed the Lord. Those seeking the truth should never be a nuisance. Nobody should ever get the idea that they're a bother, that they're asking for help, seeking assistance, maybe with food, clothing, that might be an opportunity for us to open the door and share the gospel with somebody, that people are not a nuisance because they need something. Andrew, as we alluded to earlier, was a man of conviction. You do not have to wonder which side he was on, where he was at. And as I look at Andrew, I think about myself. What about me in my workplace? What about me in this community, Glasgow, Barron County, that do people know where I stand? They know where you stand. When Jesus first met Andrew, he was one of John's disciples. Now, you cannot follow John the Baptist without being a man of conviction, living and preaching a strong message of repentance in the wilderness, away from the comforts and conveniences. An example of Andrew's conviction, go to John chapter 1, verse 41. We've already touched on, but when he found the Messiah, what did Andrew do after John the Baptist had acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God? Well, we know that he embraced the Lord and shared it with his brother. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." We have to recognize the urgency. I'd like to give you three more sets of numbers. 107 people die every minute. 153,000 people die every day. We have just crossed over as a world population the 7 billion mark. We have to be of strong conviction. We have to have the awareness, the motivation, and the desire to share the good news with those in our number. We have the opportunity greater than we've ever had before. Andrew, that being said, served with humility. Research that I did, that I wasn't aware of, that he's mentioned less than a dozen times in the Gospels. 6 of those times he's mentioned as a brother of Peter. He would forever live and work in Peter's shadow. No evidence of envy or strife or resentment ever written, that he would forever be introduced as Peter's brother. Paul points that, you go to Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 3 through 5. As we focus on serving with humility, both in the church and outside the church. Unity through humility. Paul exhorts or focuses on those who work quietly and are humble. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul points out that we should take that same level of concern that we have for ourselves, and we should apply that as we interact and love one another and maybe those that we're trying to convert. Because ultimately it shows the ultimate supreme loving sacrifice, selfless love of Jesus Christ. Andrew did his best to bring people to the Lord. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Beginning in verse 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We've been called out of darkness. We should want to share that with others with humility, not accusing or condemning or browbeating somebody. But regardless of our ability level, our talent level, we can bring somebody to Jesus. We should proclaim the excellence that we have been exposed to, that we learned of, that we teach, that we live to those that are lost, living in darkness. Back to working behind the scenes. This doesn't require a stage, a platform, any kind of recognition. It's something that we all can do. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Why are you turning to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4? Andrew focused on the attention to details. He focused on the ordinary. Sometimes we think that we want to maybe focus on the big ideas, maybe not really give a lot of attention to detail, preparation, to the things that maybe matter most. But Andrew was not the most beloved or the most popular. His name is not even mentioned in the book of Acts. We read about the spread of the gospel, the growth of the church. He's a common man that fell in love with the extraordinary Lord who used him in a great way. When I think about Christian service, I think about prayer, wisdom, encouragement, support. We've had people pray for us. We've all received cards and a word of thanks. And that means a lot. It goes a long way. And we have lots of Andrews here who do that very thing. It's the small things that may not always seem pleasant. You may not get to receive accolades or even any kind of recognition, but yet it's important. And I kind of compare this to parenting. If you have children or grandchildren, we've only gone as far as children. And that's not, we love being parents, but it's not always pleasant. It's sometimes a challenge, and that's not news to you. But yet, it's an ordinary thing maybe to the world, but it must be done. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Or starting in verse 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We also read another place like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, that we see the importance of rearing families, taking care of our families, teaching them in the Lord spiritually. Like Andrew, we have a responsibility that is mundane, you might say, never dull, but it's expected without fanfare. And I look at being a parent as serving at home. That's why any of us do it, but it's something that is going to hopefully pay dividends in eternity. Go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. I'm not going to read those 15 verses, but it stresses the point of waiting patiently, being prepared for the day of judgment. A few years ago, the last leader's theme was one of the first things was that our kids participated in, was we will work till Jesus comes. And I think about that theme, I think about Andrew, that continuing to work, continuing to grow until Jesus returns. And I think about doing the will of the Father and bearing fruit. Andrew shows us that it's not our ability that matters most, but he shows us our availability that matters the most. As I mentioned, we just broke the 7 billion mark. 107 people die every minute. I think we all would agree that the world is ready to receive the good news. Are you like Andrew? Do you have constant movement in the kingdom here at South Green? Are you busy yourself with work up here? We have 168 hours in a week. We talked a lot about that this morning. When we budget our time, are we thinking about our service? Part of plan of salvation, you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Yesterday, I specifically asked him to lead today, this morning, and battle belongs to the Lord. And I think about it, as he led that song, that the battle does belong to the Lord, but we are servants of the Lord's army. And part of that service is being faithful. Part of that faithfulness is working. We're not expected to be perfect, because Revelation 2:10 tells us, do not fear, as we read, especially towards the end of verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, that you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He doesn't say be perfect. He says be faithful. I'm sure Andrew, in a lot of ways, was not perfect, made mistakes like you and I, but yet he continued to serve in the Lord's army. Is your service lacking? Have you obeyed the gospel? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never named the name of Christ. You've never been immersed in the watery grave. If you need to respond to the invitation, we ask you to do so with Jackie Lichtenson's song.